Well, Judge Sawn, you of course are more familiar, I guess, with India than other places there. But what about Indonesia and other parts of Asia? You say India, you think, is resisting communism. What about Indonesia? Is that going to go communist?
When I went to Indonesia, my impression was that Indonesia was practically lost to communism. But after I talked with President Sukarno and I talked to before a student, large student body group of the University of Indonesia, and had a conference with the college professors. And then I had briefings from our own embassy staff. Well, I came back with the impression that Indonesia is anything but lost to communism.
What do you think we can do to ensure that Indonesia doesn't slip away any further in that direction, though?
Oh, I do not know. I don't have any. I haven't given the subject very careful study. I believe that I'll make this statement. Let us not give Indonesia or some other parts of Asia up just because the president of Indonesia or somebody else makes one speech and we take it too seriously. I know that they are resisting communism. They all have one freedom, and those people really understand the value of democracy, and they want to enjoy that, and they know that if they make any deals with Soviet Russia, they're going to lose that freedom.
Well, uh-huh. Congressman Sawn, you say you haven't any ideas particularly of what we should do, yet you are a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee here in the House, and you made this long trip as an official representative of that committee. Don't you have some proposals to make as to what Congress should do, what the American government should do in Asia?
Well, I went over as a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee to make a study of the working of the foreign aid program in those countries, and I'm making a report to the Foreign Affairs Committee. I'll say this above all. Whether we give more or less aid to those countries, I think that technical assistance program is very good. We have to help those countries get back on their feet, help them improve the standard of living of the masses. And before we do that, let us do a good job of public relations. Let those people know what are the motives of the American people in going into that part of the world and giving aid to those countries.
Let me interrupt you, Congressman Sawn. A moment ago, you said that the British were doing a much better job, this is what you're talking about, than we are out there. Can you give us a couple of specific points where the British did something differently than we did it and thereby got a better reaction?
Oh, I didn't stay there long enough to see that, but the British are there. British have been there. They're businessmen, and then they're the exchange of students and the exchange of visitors between Great Britain and India is much, much larger than there is between the United States and India. I would say that we can invite more students to the United States, and we can send more students and observers from here into India.
Is this true in other countries too, by the way?
I believe it is true everywhere. I would say this, that whatever work we are doing in public relations, we are doing a good job, but it doesn't seem to be enough.
Do you think we ought to give more money to the United States Information Agency then?
Well, if the United States Information Agency is so set up that it can profitably absorb more money and do more work, well, I will be for giving more money to USIA.
Well, Judge
but we
Sawn,
have to see how well organized they are and how they can absorb that money.
Well, the specific thing you mentioned, the exchange of students, that is a congressional proposition, isn't it? You people can increase that by increasing the funds and stepping up the program, can you?
Yes, I found this, that wherever I met with people who had been to the United States, their reaction was different. The The kind of a welcome I received in places where a man recently returned from the United States was in charge was altogether different from where they did not know about the United States. I'll give you the example. There's the Amrit Bazar Patrika in Calcutta, a newspaper that's read all over India. The editor had just recently returned from the United States. He was sold on the United States. And the day I spoke before the Rotary Club, about the fourth of the front page was covered with my picture and the story, and on the third page he had a complete text of my talk before the Rotary public.
Well, Congressman Sawin, you seem to have gotten a very optimistic picture of the situation in both India and in Indonesia, but Dr. Sukarno has been in the United States, Mr. Nehru has been in the United States. Neither one of those gentlemen are particularly friendly to us, and I think that there is a great deal of evidence that the communists, particularly the Chinese communists, are gaining influence all the time, both in Indonesia and in India. I could point out, for instance, the state of Kerala, which just recently has received a communist government. Now, I'm a little curious as to how you can be so optimistic about the situations in these two countries.
Well, I do not know where you get your information, but what I observe, that's all I'm saying. You made the statement that Mr. Nehru is not particularly friendly towards the United States. I found him very friendly and respectful towards the United States. The very fact that I was given such a warm reception in all parts of India, everywhere, including the fact that after I had talked so frankly and freely on behalf of the United States and explaining the motives of the people of the United States, for nearly a month, I was invited to address the both houses of parliament in India, an honor, the same honor which is accorded to the visiting heads of state. And Pandit Nehru, personally, was very cordial to me.
But isn't that perhaps more because of your Indian racial background and less because of the fact that you're an American?
Well, the fact remains that I was there a representative of the American people, American Congress, and I had talked very frankly. And then, if it was, I was given that kind of a reception, and I know personally, when I talked to those people, what their reaction was. I think we take some of the superficial statements that are made and we just pick only the ones that were not very friendly towards the United States. When I was there, Pandit Nehru compared the statement of Mr. Eisenhower in Paris to Buddha. I mean, no one could receive a higher compliment than that. And I understand just a week or so ago, he chastised the lack of freedom in communist Russia and so forth. I really sincerely believe that Mr. Nehru is passionately devoted to democracy.
Mr. Sawin, what was the general reaction to the fact that you, once an Indian citizen, now an American citizen, being elected to the Congress of the United States?
Well, I did not know when I left the United States how I was going to be received. But now this is a fact, that I was given a very warm reception. The red carpet was spread out for me. And I explained that only in one way. The people and the leaders of India have so much respect for the United States that they were really and sincerely proud of the fact that a man born in India was elected to the Congress of the United States.
Well, Congressman Sawin, you say our propaganda over there, our information work is inadequate, apparently, in your mind, and the British are doing better. What about the Russians? What about communist propaganda and their work? What did you observe about that?
Well, sir, the communists are doing a great deal of public relations of propaganda work. I saw stalls of bookstores where their propaganda literature, small booklets,
were
pamphlets,
buying them
and
they were
being sold at a very cheap price, and they were buying them. They were being distributed, and I was there in Bombay We were eating in the restaurant of the Taj Mahal Hotel, and there were about 50 Czechoslovak boys and girls came in. There was a troupe that was traveling all over India giving some kind of musical performances and whatnot. And then they have their men working among the students, among every group, you know. Russia is really spending a great deal of money.
Did you find any evidence among these students of anti-American feeling?
Well, there were evidence of irritations. In a big way, the Russians had been successful in exploiting this issue, this fact of military aid to Pakistan misrepresenting, and their misunderstandings about the United States, about the Kashmir. They were very much disturbed. And now let me make this point. You know, you said that Nehru has not been very friendly towards the United States. There are some, immediately, our giving military aid to Pakistan, our taking an anti-India stand on the Kashmir issue, and Mr. Dulles making the statement that Goa belongs to Portugal. Those facts have contributed in creating misunderstanding about the United States. But when I stated simple facts concerning those issues, well, they seem to be satisfied.
Well, doesn't India quite frequently, under Mr. Nehru's guidance, take a stand against our position in the United Nations?
Well,
let's take the Hungarian issue as an example.
Well, I'm not holding a brief for India. I said there when I was there in India, when they asked, well, why doesn't the United States recognize that China and so forth, as some of the stands we were taking in the United Nations, and I had only one. I wasn't supporting our stand, or I wasn't against that stand. I was just saying that the United States has just as much right as India has to formulate its own foreign policy. I don't believe the very fact that India does not go with us on everything we do in the United Nations should say that India is anti-United States anymore, because the United States doesn't go with India on all cases, issues in the United Nations, that the United States is anti-India.
Well, Judge Sond, I wanted to ask you about our policies in China. You said you didn't defend them or attack them. How do you feel? Do you think we should recognize Red China?
Oh, I think that we have to modify our position. I won't say that we can recognize Red China right now, today. We have to bear this fact in mind that under the influence of Reds in China, there live 400 or 500 million people, and we just simply can't be isolated from them altogether. We have to do something about it. But mm-hmm. I don't say that we should recognize Red China right now, because there's so many other issues involved with it.
Well, you said right at the very opening of this program that one of the questions asked you was, why is the United States afraid of communism? Do you think part of our failure to recognize Red China is interpreted as part of our fear of communism?
I wouldn't be surprised, because Red China has been recognized by many countries in the free world, and the people just do not understand that, maybe partly.
Can we ask a domestic question? We're getting close to the end of the program. Are you a candidate for re-election to the House?
Well, as far as I know, everybody, all members of Congress are candidates for re-election, except the ones who have announced otherwise.
Well, one other domestic, or not so domestic, question that comes up here all the time, and that's this matter of congressional junkets and congressional trips. And I think everyone agrees your trip was a very worthwhile one, but what about congressional junkets in general? Do you think that's a good way to spend the taxpayers' money, to send you fellows all around the world?
Well, I think that is a wrong word to use. These congressmen, when they go abroad, they give their time and energy in order to study the situations. We're so involved with the situations abroad that if a congressman can find out firsthand, he'll be so much better legislator. And considering how much money we spend in operating the Congress of the United States and how important a vote of a congressman can be, he cannot be too well informed.
Well, you mentioned the exchange of students. You think then we ought to have some more exchanges of people like congressmen between countries?
Well, I think that'll be a very good idea if we can. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid we've about run out of time, and Congressman Sond, we want to thank you very, very much for appearing with us here on Capitol Cloakroom. Thank you very much, Congressman Sond.
You've been listening to the 486th meeting in Capitol Cloakroom. Tonight's guest was Representative Dalip S. Sond, Democrat of California, and a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He was interviewed by CBS News correspondents Griffin Bancroft, Wells Church, and Robert Pierpoint. Be with us next week when our guest will be another prominent Washington personality. You've just heard another broadcast in the public interest by CBS News. Only a network like CBS Radio can present this kind of service, and only a station affiliated with CBS Radio can bring it to you. Capitol Cloakroom is produced by Michael Marlowe and is a presentation of CBS News. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.